RSU FM New Brunswick and online at WRSU.org. It is hour two, and this time we are actually going to talk about the actual, real, current playoff games that have yet to happen and are going to be starting on January the 14th, 2023 AD. Let's start with the Saturday night games. Let's jump right in with a game featuring Alec Krauthammel's favorite team, Seattle Seahawks. We got the 9-8 wild card Seattle Seahawks, last team in, against the juggernaut San Francisco 49ers at Levi Stadium, led by Mr. Relevant rookie, last pick of the draft, Brock Purdy. Who, I mean, I can't believe that this guy is actually in his 20s and not 12 years old. I just want to say that right up front. The guy looks like he's 12. It's insane. I think it's great. I love seeing the last pick of the draft come in, be dominant. But looking at this game, I'm going to say this. The Seahawks have lost both of their games during the regular season to the San Francisco 49ers. But we have seen in the past, it is very difficult for one team to beat another team three times in one season, twice in the regular season, and again the postseason. I think, because of that, Seahawks have a very good chance of walking out of Levi Stadium with an upset. Alec, obviously you follow the Seahawks closer than the rest of us do. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, considering the way the first two games went, like you said, the first game of the second game of the season, the Seahawks played the 49ers. They got absolutely obliterated. Their only score, they lost 27-7. Their only score was on a blocked field goal. They returned for a touchdown. The offense got completely shut out. And then they played on Thursday Night Football about a month back. It felt like it should have been a much bigger blowout than it was. But the Seahawks kept it within a one-score game for pretty much the entire game. And if it wasn't for a Travis Homer fumble that happened in the second quarter that the 49ers turned into a short yardage touchdown drive, I think the Seahawks had a chance to either tie or win that game. So I definitely feel good about it. I wasn't necessarily happy with how they played against the Rams this past weekend, especially with their playoff lives at stake. You know, you either win and you're still alive or you lose and you're eliminated. I didn't love the way the offense played. Seems like they're in a bit of a rut right now. But, you know, they're also going against the best defense in the entire league in the San Francisco 49ers. So it's going to be a tough game. And the defense has been a little bit banged up. Linebacker Jordan Brooks out for the year with a torn ACL. The odds are stacked against Seattle right now. But long-term,
they still got that hungry secondary, though.
They do, yes, they do. The young secondary, Quandre Diggs had one of the most unbelievable interceptions you'll see on Sunday, flying in, coming from out of nowhere on a ball that...
He really was. Like, I mean, people are going to look at that and say that wasn't a great throw, kind of probably underthrown by Baker Mayfield. But, if you watch the play back, you know, Tutu Atwell, or Van Jefferson.
I think it was Van Jefferson.
It's Van Jefferson. He was wide open.
Oh, yeah,
he was
wide open.
And Quandre Diggs comes flying in from the other side of the screen, and he just snatches that ball out of the air. Like, one second, there's nobody there, and the next second, it's in Quandre Diggs' hands. That was great.
The amount of ground he had to make up was ridiculous. Not only just to, you know, get to the ball itself.
He's a very underrated player. He's got underrated speed, I'll tell you
that. Yeah. Not only to get to the ball, but also make an over-the-shoulder interception, like the one he made. I mean, he's probably one of the better safeties in the league at making up ground and tracking the ball in the air. I'll give him that. I've been a little disappointed with him this year, and yet he's still gotten, like, Pro Bowl / All Pro votes. I don't really understand it. But he made the play of the season for the Seahawks on Sunday, so I'll give him that. It's tough to bet against the Seahawks because they're my favorite team, and they've also, in the last, you know, 7 years, I want to say 7 years, yeah, 7 years, they've, the Seahawks, pretty much going back to when Jim Harbaugh was still the coach of the 49ers, the Seahawks have owned the 49ers. Now, the 49ers also had some big struggles, you know, 2015, 2016, the Chip Kelly and Jim Tom Sula years, and when they were bad in the beginning of Kyle Shanahan's tenure. But it seems like Pete Carroll just has Kyle Shanahan's number at certain points. So I'm going to say the Seahawks are going to win a tough, low-scoring game where Brock Purdy starts to struggle a little bit, but the star power of San Francisco keeps them in the game, and Geno Smith and the Seahawks offense has a resurgent game, and they will move on to travel to Philadelphia to play the first seeded Eagles, and I would be at that game if I was not going to be in Michigan for the Rutgers women's basketball, Rutgers versus Michigan State game.
I just want to tell you, first of all, if the Seahawks could actually do that and prevent the Giants from having to go to Philly in the second round, I would be very happy. Second of all, you're not missing anything. You do not want to be at the Link.
That's fair.
For playoff football. I can promise you that. They will do unspeakable things.
That's definitely
they,
fair.
They will do and say things to you and other Seahawks fans that I cannot repeat on the air.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. Going to Philadelphia in January for playoff football. It should be an interesting.
I remember when the Vikings fans came into town for the NFC Championship game. You know, I was still living in the Philly area at the time, and it was bad. It was bad.
Yeah, so that's my. It's not locked to the week anymore, but this is my Mark Messier guarantee. The Seattle Seahawks will defeat the San Francisco 49ers. Shout out to my aunt who I brought up on the show who I've brought up on the show previously, who's a big 49ers fan. We'll probably be watching the game together. that's my guarantee, is that the Seahawks will beat the 49ers and move on to Philadelphia.
Alrighty. I would very much appreciate that. Moving on to the next game, we got a bit of a stunner to me, honestly. We have a game between two teams that I didn't even think were going to be in the playoffs. Neither of them. We got the Chargers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Guys, the Jags made the playoffs. They won their division.
Mid-off.
Okay. Wow. Let me tell you something. Teams. You say it's a mid-off. The Jacksonville Jaguars are one of the hottest teams in the league right now. They've won, what, 5 in a row?
I'm sorry to cut you off. So they opened their season 2-1. All right. Good. They lost. They went on a 5-game skid. 1-1, lost one bye week. And then they won five straight.
Yes, they did.
That's annoying how this team made it in. How they were just, cold and then just raging hot, and now they're in.
I think it's awesome because we got to see the emergence of Trevor Lawrence as an NFL starting quarterback in real time.
Almost Jets legend. Isn't he the guy that, never mind. Was he the first overall pick a few years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago, Trevor Lawrence was the first overall pick.
Sorry, excuse me.
But yeah, we got to see the emergence of Trevor Lawrence in real time. I think it was awesome. He's been looking like a world beater these days. I mean, well, not necessarily world beater, but he's looking really good. I'm excited to see what he can do in the postseason. Obviously, in terms of coaching, they have playoff experience. Again, we don't talk about that. But, you know, I mean, it's going to be an interesting matchup. The Chargers, I didn't think were going to be in the playoffs just because I expected, you know, everyone was expecting them to make the playoffs because they have a really talented roster, and I expected them to disappoint everyone the way that they always do. And they, you know, despite their best efforts, managed to make it into the postseason. But now they have to go up against a team that blew them out in week 3. And not just blew them out on their home field. Admittedly, in front of away fans, because SoFi Stadium is not home to any very hospitable home crowd, to be perfectly honest. That doesn't go for the Chargers. That also goes for the Rams. But it's gonna be very interesting. I know that Jacksonville crowd is gonna be raucous on Saturday night, and the Jags are playing with a lot of momentum. It's gonna be tough for them because you got a lot of guys playing in their first postseason game for the Jags. But I'm excited to see this team in the playoffs. And I'm excited to see how Trevor Lawrence handles that atmosphere. It shouldn't be too much for him because, you know, I mean, he played in the college football playoffs. Had, you know, big Clemson, had to play against Alabama in the national championship game. But this ain't Alabama. This is the NFL playoffs. And anything happens. Anything can happen.
Do you think the fact that the Jaguars are playing the team that blew them out in week 3, do you think that affects the team at all? Do you think it's the playoffs and nothing
playing
matters?
Playing a team that they already beat handily? I mean, it could. I think you could potentially come in with a bit of overconfidence. Mm-hmm. You know, believe, you know, being like, all right, we already handled these guys, you know. That could potentially happen. I don't think Doug Peterson, the veteran head coach, you know, Super Bowl winning head coach, is going to let that really get into their heads. You know, he's going to be in that locker room telling them, look, I know we beat them in week 3. I know we beat the crap out of them, but this is a different game, different atmosphere, completely different environment, different stakes. You know, that game in L.A., back in September. That game didn't mean anything yet for either team. This game, you win or you're on the couch next week. So, you know, the stakes are obviously much higher, and obviously the Jags would like to get to their first Super Bowl in franchise history. It's a long road, but I mean they can get there if they win. And you know, I mean they gotta play hard, they gotta play tough, they gotta play smart. But I do think that could have an impact on the game. You know, the Chargers are going to be hungry. Chargers are going to be hungry going into that game. You got anything to say about it, Alec?
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting game between two young, dynamic quarterbacks. I think the Chargers have the edge at quarterback, but I think the Jaguars are coming in hotter right now. Like last week, the Chargers played the Broncos and played their starters for most of the game, at least for the first three quarters, and still lost. Which, by the way, that put the Seahawks pick from, you know, from 3 to 5. So thanks a lot, Chargers, for ruining everything. But yeah, I it's tough because yeah, it's a Jaguars home game. Duval County is going to be rocking. It's hard to bet against the home team, but I also think I think the Chargers are the better team, but I think the Jaguars are better set to come out of this game with a win.
I agree. I think we're going to be seeing the Jacksonville Jaguars. Potentially playing in Kansas City next weekend. But moving on, we already talked about the Dolphins and the Bills. I don't really feel like we have anything else to say about this game because, I mean, obviously we would have plenty to say about this game if Tua was going to play. But obviously we know he's not. It's probably going to be Skylar Thompson.
I think we all think the Bills are going to move on fairly, like Jake said, fairly handily, double digits.
So let's...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, thank you, Max. Yeah, and speaking of which,
let's move on to the game that definitely interests me.
Oh yeah, well, not to cut you off, Jake, but we got some positive news regarding DeMar Hamlin. The past couple days, he had been at Buffalo. He ended up going from Cincinnati to Buffalo.
He was transferred from University of Cincinnati Medical Center to a local hospital in Buffalo.
Yeah, and then today he was discharged from the hospital in Buffalo, and he's now home and continuing to recover. So that's obviously excellent news.
It is excellent news. It means he's mostly out of the woods. Right now, obviously, his status to be able to play again is still uncertain, but it's good that he's continuing to recover and that he'll probably be good. Obviously, we'll give any updates. We'll talk about any updates over the air as they happen, obviously, but just awesome to see DeMar Hamlin recovering. Now, to move back to on-the-field stuff, let's talk about a game that interests me. Very much. I'm sitting here in my New York Giants hat. I'm sitting here with a smile on my face because I'm watching my team in the postseason for the first time in 6 years. And there will be no boat party this year, let me tell you. The boat curse is lifted.
Boat curse?
Oh.
The infamous boating incident of 2016.
Oh, the Monday before the playoffs in the year 2016, well, technically it was 2017, but 2016 NFL season, the Giants had just made the playoffs. They went 11-5. They were doing great. The Giants wide receiver group, they did something so stupid. They went down to Miami, and they went on a boat party with Justin Bieber, and I think Johnny Manziel was there too. Johnny Football, shout out to him. Hope he's doing well because he's been having a hell of a time, let me tell you. But they went and there was this infamous picture. I'll pull it up on my phone in a minute. There's this infamous picture of all the guys just, you know, looking like they're superstars, acting like they're superstars on that boat. And Ben McAdoo was asked, you know, is it a distraction? And he was talking about, nah, they can do whatever they want. Their day off, obviously, they go into Lambeau,
right,
on Sunday, and they get the snot beat out of them, and then they follow that up with 5 years of some of the worst football we have ever seen.
Oh,
like we're talking Cleveland Browns bad.
It was the same team. They didn't like trade anybody. They didn't let anybody go. It's just
They did after the next season because next season they won 3 games.
Wow.
Many Giants fans point to that the yacht incident of 2016 as the downturn for the franchise. But now they're back up and they're playing the Vikings.
This is the boat picture John Hartnett to see.
Oh, I've definitely seen it.
Yeah.
It's like an album cover.
Yeah, exactly.
It is. It is. It would be so funny if I didn't hate what happened what happened after it so much.
So, yeah, I'm a tough guy. I'm going to lose this game.
They look.
I'm going to let Aaron Rodgers throw a Hail Mary right before the half.
Yeah, what are you doing?
But hey, yeah, anyways.
Hey, listen. It's not the first time in a Giants-Packers playoff game we've seen a Hail Mary right before the half. And I just want to say the other time, that team actually won the Super Bowl. So, listen, I'm not saying that that's going to happen again for the Giants this year. I mean, I might be, but I'm not going to say it on the air. But I am excited for this game. I think the Giants honestly got the best possible matchup they could have gotten for their first playoff game this year. And I'll tell you why. So this team is a team full of guys that do not have playoff experience. I know Max Sanchez, you're with us. You remember when Leonard Williams was a Jet. He was pretty good as a Jet, right?
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, but obviously you guys had a lot of struggles when he was on the team. And apart from his rookie year, weren't even close to making the playoffs. This is his first playoff game that he's going to be playing in. So even though he's been great, I mean, when you're playing in your first playoff game, the pressure can be unreal. I mean, it can be pretty hard to kind of shake a lot of the nerves. And it's going to be like that for a lot of guys. Obviously, Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones, their first playoff games. You know, Xavier McKinney, one of the two star safeties for the Giants. Not Adoree Jackson, because he played in the playoffs his rookie season against the Chiefs, and they won that game. They came back. but it's going to be – there's a real lack of experience on this Giants team in terms of postseason. And obviously, you know, rookie head coach could be difficult. Rookie head coaches for both teams, though. But I think this is a good matchup because this is a team that the Giants already played this season in this building, in U.S. Bank Stadium, and they almost won that game. You know, they were neck and neck with the Vikings the whole time. So I feel pretty good about the Giants' chances of winning this game. I mean, obviously the Vikings are still favored. They're the home team. They've been really good all season. And if it's a close game, they've won all of those. But it is also known that the Vikings do not play quite as well when they are not in the 1 p.m. Slot for games. That Kirk Cousins does not normally play as well. And, they're playing at 4:40 Eastern time. So I'm just saying, no 1 p.m. Kirk Cousins, no problem. That's my opinion. How do you guys feel about that?
I think it's always fun when you have like a younger team in the playoffs. I'm gonna watch the Giant game, obviously, out of solidarity. Both head coaches are young. Are they both first time playoff head coaches?
Yes, they are. That's Kevin O'Connell and Brian Daboll. Both of them are rookie head coaches. Both of them making the playoffs in their rookie year as a head coach.
That's very interesting. That's gonna be a lot of fun. I love Brian Daboll as a coach.
Obviously he's a great Rangers fan.
Yeah, the Rangers are like 3-0 when he's in the building. He should be in the guard for every playoff game. Obviously, Brian Daboll, I mean him like this. I'll call him Brian. Hey, Brian, how you doing? Good luck in the game. That's gonna be a tough game. You don't want to predict like your. You don't want to predict.
I'm not locking it in.
This is a tough one because, I mean, the Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson is dirty. He is disgusting.
Oh, he's filthy. He's filthy. But I do want to say the Giants are likely getting star cornerback Adoree Jackson back for this postseason game. He's been out a while because he suffered a knee injury while returning punts. And the only reason he was doing that was because Richie James had a couple of incidents in Seattle returning punts. Which is really strange because he's actually been pretty good as a receiver this year, but not so much on punt returns. So they had you know, he suffered an injury on a punt return, but he's probably going to be back, and he's been doing a really standout job locking down number one receivers this year. And Justin Jefferson was one of the guys that the Giants had trouble with without Adoree Jackson 3 weeks ago, but now assuming they have him back, this could be a very different ball game. I mean, we saw him get locked down completely by Jair Alexander against the Packers and Lambeau. So I definitely think – I mean, I'm not saying that's what I'm predicting because Justin Jefferson's a bad man. I mean, that man won the receiving title this year. But I'm just saying it could be a different ball game.
What are your thoughts on Alec?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close game. I said when they played each other in the regular season, I said I believe it was after the game I said it. We should have known that the Giants and Vikings would play the dumbest game of the day because it came down to a game-winning 60-yard field goal. It was, like, really close all around. I think it's going to be much of the same. I think in a cruel twist of fate because, it's the New York Giants. This is just how it's going to go. The Vikings are going to win on another last-second field goal. This one not from 60, though, from, like, 30, just because.
See, I feel like in a cruel twist of fate, it's going to be the other way around, where Graham Gano is going to hit a game-winning field goal for the Giants because the Vikings can't have nice things.
This is true. The Viking, you know what? That's going to make me change. I'm going to say they miss a game-winning field goal because it's the Vikings in the postseason. Things just do not mix. It's like oil
and water. Not going to be Blair Walsh levels of bad.
Yeah.
Greg Joseph.
For a second, I thought my headset got disconnected. I thought it was like I was like hearing like a boo. I was looking down. I'm trying to find. Sorry. I was just coming off guard.
Yeah. I can't believe the Seahawks watched what Blair Walsh did happen to them, and then they 2 years later they were like, ooh, we just let go of Stephen Hauschka.
We can fix him.
Yeah, we can fix him, and then. Missed three field goals that would have won the game. Missed the playoffs that year by one game. Anyways, yeah, no, that's neither here nor there. That was 5 years ago. I'm over it. I'm not over it. I'm over it. Yeah, I'm over it.
Alec, don't worry. I'm not over it.
I'm not over it because you guys would have managed to win. You guys would have managed to win that playoff game in Philly.
Alec, if it makes you feel better, I'm still not over the freaking Bills beating out the Jets to keep them from making the wild card spot.
Yeah,
and
the back
Bills
in
were like 500 2015 2016 season.
Yeah. I'm not over anything that the Eagles have done to the Giants ever. So, welcome to the club. We've all been there.
Yeah, but that's going to be a fun game. You said that's what Sunday at 4:40?
Yep.
That's going to be a fun game.
4:40 Eastern time, 3:40 if you are in Minneapolis.
So, Max, what are your thoughts on this upcoming game between the Giants and the Vikings?
I think actually I want to see the underdog win. So, I think I could see the Giants coming out with it. But I think Saquon needs to have a hell of a game. Like, he's got to rush for over 150 yards for them to even, like, come close, in my opinion. That's kind of my outlook.
I mean, he's been really good all year, so, that's totally possible.
But like how we mentioned before, everyone's different when it comes to a playoff atmosphere, so we just got to see how he plays.
Saquon's honestly the playoff newbie that I'm worried about the least for the Giants. I mean, he's got a very no-nonsense attitude about it, and he understands the pressure. I mean, we're talking about a guy who played at the Rose Bowl, against USC when he was, a freshman at Penn State. So this guy knows about playing high-pressure football. Funnily enough, he was playing against Adoree Jackson in that Rose Bowl, who is now his teammate. But I'm worried about him the least. I'm definitely much more worried about guys on the offensive line, namely Andrew Thomas and Evan Neal. I'm worried about, obviously, Daniel Jones because, he's been really good all season, but playoffs are a different environment. If he can transform into January Eli Manning, then we're not going to have any issues. But, I don't really see that happening. I don't see him turning into an egg, but laying an egg. But I mean, I don't see him maintaining this great play into such high pressure football necessarily. I'm not counting him out, and I'm not saying that he's going to play badly. I do believe in him, but I have concerns.
So let's see. What's the next?
The next game
matchup
is the Sunday night game: Ravens at the Bengals. They just played each other. They're playing each other again. And like I said, it's probably going to be the same result. If they're not playing Lamar Jackson, and even if they are playing Lamar Jackson, injured Lamar Jackson, and the Bengals have been on kind of a torrid hot streak lately.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, even if they don't have Lamar Jackson, they may not even have Tyler Huntley either, or Snoop Huntley, as apparently his nickname is. He didn't throw a pass in the open media portion of practice today because he's been dealing with shoulder tendonitis.
Ooh.
So they may be down to Anthony Brown.
He's not playing if he has shoulder tendonitis.
They might be down to Anthony Brown, their third-string quarterback, the New Jersey product. He went to Boston College before transferring to Oregon. I believe, what high school did he go to?
He I'll tell you what, he looked bad. Yeah. He looked really bad.
He went to St. John Vianney High School in, I believe, Holmdel Township. So he's a New Jersey product. But I don't have a lot of confidence in him going into...
No, he looked really bad.
I don't have a lot of confidence in him beating Cincinnati. I think we can all agree that the if Lamar doesn't play, and it's looking like it's trending that way, that the Bengals are going to win this pretty handily.
Yeah. Let's move on to the last playoff game. The Dallas Cowboys...
Oh boy, oh boy.
America's most hated team against...
Unless your name is Jack Masaya or Jackson DeLulo in our WRC group chat.
And they are going up against a team with a losing record. The team with a losing record. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by a geriatric Tom Brady. Oh, let me tell you, this is going to be a doozy. I really don't think the Bucs have a chance. I know they say you can never count out Touchdown Tom. I'm counting out Touchdown Tom.
I am not counting out Touchdown Tom.
He's
Tom
Brady, man. He's the guy.
He has not been the guy all season. He has looked awful.
He has six rings.
Seven.
Seven rings. Like I said, seven rings.
He's looked awful this year.
But, I mean, I don't know. There's just something about it. Like, the Cowboys, they played their starters because they were still in play for I think they were still in play for the one seed, or at least the two seed, or
maybe no, they were in play division. For the one seed.
Yeah, they were in play for the one seed because you know, they took care of business against the Eagles and all that. And the Eagles,
despite allowing a
touchdown to Kenny Galladay, they managed to beat the Giants.
Sorry, I had to rub it in.
Yeah. The Cowboys.
It's just so funny.
They were playing their starters because they still had something to play for, which was that one.
And they
seeder.
Got Sam Howell.
Yeah, Sam Howell came in his first career start, and the Cowboys, they really did not look all that good.
They laid an egg,
which is concerning, especially for, you know, a Commander team that I don't want to say they quit on the season, but they had nothing to play for, and maybe that gave the Commanders an advantage because they played loose and had nothing to lose. But I don't think it bodes well for the Cowboys, and the Cowboys are under immense pressure this year. Because they've been playing very well. Dak is healthy, finally. It seems like they're getting healthier in terms of their whole team. And it feels like, you know, if they lose this game to the Buccaneers, Mike McCarthy's seat may be getting a little... Cowboys fans can correct me if I'm wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised if the pressure ratchets up on Mike McCarthy's job if they lose this game.
That hot seat is going to get a little bit hotter.
Yeah.
Hopefully, not too hot.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want any third-degree burns, but...
Yeah.
All I will say is, if they do lose that game, and the Seahawks win, and the Giants win, and the Giants get to play Tom Brady in the second round,
that would
be very
interesting.
Happy. That would be best-case scenario for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's a home game for Tampa Bay, and it's because it's January and it's Tom Brady. I just have this feeling. Maybe it's because I don't like the Cowboys... Maybe, but I just have this feeling that the Buccaneers are going to come away at this game. Now, I could be totally wrong. I mean, the Cowboys have played subpar teams and absolutely blown them out of the water, like when they played the Colts. So the Cowboys could completely run away with this.
Well,
they weren't
blowing them out of the water before the Colts decided to end the season with a minus 80 point differential under Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, if he becomes their head coach, Jim Irsay, I don't know what to tell you. Anyways, yeah, I feel like this is either going to be a close Buccaneers win. This is either going to be a close Buccaneers win or a Cowboys blowout. That's my take.
I think I agree with that take. You know, it's certainly going to be an interesting weekend of football, minus the two third-string quarterbacks that we're going to be seeing go through the Connor Cook treatment this coming Sunday. Both of those games are going to be on Sunday. So, really, I really hope the Giants-Vikings game is entertaining, at least from a Giants perspective. Otherwise, we're going to have a really sad day of football. but, you know, it's the playoffs. It's the most wonderful time of the year for football. I love it. You love it. It's going to be great. Can't wait to see who plays in the Super Bowl. Obviously, you know, the most watched TV program every year. But we're not there yet. We're still multiple weeks away. I am obviously hoping for the Giants to win. Alec, I know you're rooting for the Seahawks. I am too. Because I like the Seahawks, and I do not want to play in Philly next week. I do not want to play in Philly next week.
That would be. I feel like you would have like a crisis because you know, because you're Philadelphia roots, And as I even though you say you're a Yankees fan, I think you're a Phillies fan.
I like Phillies.
Like if you're
no, there would be there's no conflict of interest if that's what you're wondering.
There's no conflict of interest.
There's no conflict of interest. I hate the Eagles.
Okay. Speaking of the Yankees, I had some funny baseball news. So, the Washington Nationals they signed Dominic Smith.
Yes. I thought you were gonna say they signed Carlos Correa.
No, the Twins did, and they had their I don't even know where to begin with that. But yeah, they signed Dominic Smith today, and to all Mets fans, including John, they probably are not the biggest fans of Dominic Smith. But the funny part,
I wish him the best.
The funny part, yeah. The funny part is, they announced or someone announced like what number he's gonna wear. It's a Twitter account called like MLB player jerseys or whatever.
Oh, I follow the Instagram one. Yeah, they just post the name and the number, and it's really funny because like 85% of them is like just normal. It's like Juan Soto will wear number 22 for the Padres. Last worn by this guy in the '80s.
Yeah,
and some are really funny like. It'll be this guy from the Astros a few years ago. His name was Hose, and they gave him the number 0.
Oh, no.
That's great.
They
did him dirty.
And then, it'll be like, Jason DeLay. And then all the comments will be like, you know, I really, really like this pitcher. He's good, and it's like that.
That's funny. But anyways, so you kind of said the direction I was going with this. So they announced what jersey Dom Smith will be wearing.
Number 2, right?
No, number 22. And then it was a tweet. Dominic Smith will be wearing number 22 for the Washington Nationals, last worn by Juan Soto. Oh. And all the replies are just Washington fans and Mets fans just completely melting down. It's really hilarious.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. But, yeah.
That's good. That's a cool account.
Back to football very briefly before we head to break.
Yeah.
John, you are right. If the Giants end up playing the Eagles at all in this postseason, I will definitely be having a crisis. But not for conflict of interest, just because I'm going to be having a crisis.
That'll do it for the NFL playoffs talk. We'll take a quick break. After the break, we'll have Can We Just Talk? Listen to the Wednesday crew here on WRSU 88.7 FM or WRSU.org.
4-on-3 transition. Euro step from Schmeichel, and she gets it to go. It's Sidibe. Has to shoot it. Sidibe, a long triple. Yes!
Rutgers women's basketball is off to a thrilling start in their first season under new head coach Coquise Washington. Their season continues as they head into Big Ten play. WRSU is your home for all things Rutgers women's basketball, including live coverage of every game. It's all right here on 88.7 WRSU FM New Brunswick and online at WRSU.org.
Kicks out now, McConnell, right wing, triple, money! Now Miller at the three-point line, feeds inside, Amori, one-hand slam!
Number 10, Indiana, absolutely torn to shreds at Jersey Mike's Arena.
Fireball.
The Rutgers men's basketball team has been on fire. The Scarlet Knights enter Big Ten play, looking to keep the flame lit in the brunt of their schedule. Join us for live coverage of every game from Piscataway or anywhere in the country on 88.7 FM or at WRSU.org.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Can we just talk? Welcome back to the Wednesday crew. Jake is dancing, if you call that dancing. Gentlemen, first of all, before we send it, we have two special guests for Can We Just Talk. John Hartnett, Jake Maystel, Alec Krauthammer, Max Sanchez is over virtual on the Opal. And from Chicago, Illinois, we got Alex Cominati and Eddie Kalegi at the Shed. Gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, Johnny boy, how are you? Good to hear from you, everybody. Hello, hello, happy new
What's
year.
What's going on?
It's good to hear from you guys. You know what, Eddie and I, first off, Ed, it's great to be with you here in the Chicago area, and Eddie and I have been having a ball so far here in the Midwest, and tonight's a big game for Rutgers men's basketball. We'll touch up upon it, of course. But yeah, it's been a great time for us, and Rutgers is about an hour and a half away from doing battle with Northwestern here at Welsh Ryan Arena.
Now let me ask this, Alex. First of all, I'm loving the music in the background. What is that,
well,
like?
Okay, yeah,
jazz?
I can add some more context to that. It is retro night.
Yes,
so
it is.
Ooh.
They've been showing stats on the video board here, and it's old retro logos for every Big Ten team.
Well, that's
which is
cool.
Pretty cool. So, yes, it is pretty snazzy.
What do you mean by retro logos? Aren't they all like letters?
Old school. No. For example, like the old 90s logo for Rutgers, you know, with the NJ and the Rutgers and all of that. They're showing that logo on the screens for Rutgers. And then for Northwestern, it's the N with a wildcat. Like a cat, like, you know, screaming or yelling or what have you.
I
don't know.
Roar.
Or meowing. Roar,
okay, you know, whatever. But the point is that, it is retro night. And, yeah, Eddie and I are really excited for this game. It should be a really good one. Well, when we look at these teams right now, Rutgers has won 5 of their last 6. Northwestern has won 7 of their last 8. You put that together, 12 of 14 for both teams combined.
Yeah, and also with Northwestern in general, this is a team that has not had much success in the Big Ten over the last few years. Rutgers has been the better team, even at the beginning of the Pikel era. Northwestern's typically been towards the bottom of the conference, but they've gotten off to a really good start this year. They're 12-3 right now, and both of these teams got AP votes. So Rutgers, of course, a missed opportunity to get into the top 25 with the loss against Iowa, but a good chance to bounce back here and have another strong performance on the road. And so far in Big Ten play on the road, they've got a win at Mackey in a game they should have won in Columbus. So they've held their own so far away from JMA in the conference. So this should be an entertaining game.
We will see how it all plays out. Rutgers, as we speak, is warming up. We got Big Cliff. We got Caleb. We got Cam Spencer. We got the whole crew warming up right now, jamming out with their tunes in their headsets. But no, you know, just...
Headsets.
Headsets.
Headphones,
thank you. Why am I blanking on these terms? I don't know. You know what? Thankfully, it's Can We Just Talk and we can blurt out whatever. But the point is this. They look confident. And, you know, they just got out a few minutes ago, but they're doing their business. They're shooting, dribbling, doing what have you. They seem confident, and I'm expecting a confident performance tonight from Rutgers here in Chicago.
We cannot wait. For coverage starts at 9 o'clock. Alex and Eddie are on the call. Dylan, Grant, and I are in back here in New Brunswick producing. Gentlemen, I'm not going to lie to you. When I heard over a break about maybe 45 minutes ago, I put on Eddie on the queue, and I was surprised to see you guys in the booth already, like in the building.
Yeah.
You guys aren't enjoying the nightlife, you know, around the Chicago area?
Well, we have done some fun stuff so far. We are staying closer to the airport than actually Chicago, so we don't have that good of access to said nightlife, but we have done some fun things. This afternoon, we went into the city and we went to the Blackhawks training facility because they had an open public practice.
Yep.
So we got to see Patrick Kane and Jonathan Tapes and all them practicing,
yep,
which is pretty cool. United Center, we went to the gift shop. By the way, I bought a player t-shirt at the team store. I will not say who it is, but it is the t-shirt that I will be wearing for the RSU Targum game when that happens in the spring, because it's the perfect player to represent me. So.
Is it Alex Caruso?
It may be. Yes.
And not just that,
that's great,
but at the United Center, I got a picture in front of a statue of the greatest basketball player of all time,
Michael Jordan.
LeBron James?
Yes, Alex Korn.
Michael Jordan, baby. Okay.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like Ron Harper Jr.
No.
give me about 15, 20 years, okay?
Yeah, all that statue soon.
But the point is that we had a great time at the United Center. We saw Jonathan Toews practice. We saw Patrick Kane practice.
Yeah, that's cool.
At Fifth Thirds Arena, which is right down the road from the United Center. And, yeah, you know, it's been a really good time. We're here, of course, in, you know, the northwestern part of the city. And then tomorrow morning we fly to Minneapolis because we have women's basketball tomorrow. Ooh. In Minnesota.
Oh, busy week.
And during the day, Eddie and myself, we are going to take a tour of U.S. Bank Stadium during the day.
Oh, wow.
Hours before the Scarlet Knights do battle with those Golden Gophers
home,
out in Minneapolis.
Home of Carm's beloved Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, please. Give me a break. Alec, I'm mad at you. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Green Bay folded like a cheap suit, and I'm tired of it. That's number one. Number two, Aaron's going to leave. Goodbye this time, sadly. Number three, how in the world does Matt LaFleur still have a job? I would put him on unemployment right now if I could. The guy is the worst play caller I've ever seen in my entire life. I know a chimpanzee that can do a better job. I mean, come on. No. It was that game was one of the worst games I've ever seen. And last year's playoff game versus San Fran was pretty bad to begin with.
So wait, Carm, you say you know a chimpanzee that can play call better. Are you trying to tell me that Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur could play call better than Matt LaFleur?
Jake, where do I go with this? Here's where I go with this. I have an 11-year-old cousin down in Florida, and she doesn't know a damn thing about sports. She can call a better drive for Aaron Rodgers than Matt LaFleur.
Now, Alex, let me ask this. This is not related to anything sports related. I'm going with the chimpanzee question. Now, are you a chimpanzee guy or are you a gorilla guy?
So I make a reference, and you're going to bring that question to me right now? That's what you come up with?
I mean, you chose to include the chimpanzee in your reference, so you have opened yourself up to potentially being asked said questions.
But John,
Alex.
Come on, man, that's a silly question. I'm sorry.
I'll answer that easily.
I like gorillas, but chimpanzees are awesome.
Whatever. They're both great. I mean, come on. You know, I mean,
God,
I'm crying.
They apparently are capable of being an NFL play caller, too.
Now,
well,
Eddie, I would.
No, they are.
I mean, heck, hey, if Matt LaFleur can make it, anybody can make it. That's how bad he is. It's incredible. And you know what? Eddie just told me 1 hour ago, they fired the wrong LaFleur. They fired Mike in New York.
Yeah, well, yeah. They didn't fire him. They mutually parted ways.
He's sacked. They sacked him. Goodbye. They sacked him. See you later. I mean, look. Seattle got it. They played a great game. I'll give Seattle the credit. And I'll tell you, what was it, Diggs?
Quandre Diggs.
Quandre Diggs, thank you. That was a great interception. I'll give him that much. Baker threw a horrible pass, but the way he was able to read the play and then lead to that game-winning field goal, look, I will give Seattle the credit. They had a surprisingly good year. Geno Smith right now looks like the guy so far. Maybe not long-term, but right now Geno seems to be the number one man in Seattle at that QB position. You know, we'll see how they play versus San Francisco. I don't think they're going to beat the 49ers, but at the same time, I will tip my hat to the Seattle Seahawks and how they got to the playoffs in this season that was supposed to be horrible for them.
Yeah, and not only that.
And they still got a top five pick.
Yeah, we have the fifth pick in the draft, so it should be a blast.
I mean,
they were expected
Seattle,
to have a top five pick.
Seattle took the money and ran. They basically screwed Denver. Denver shot themselves in the foot with that trade.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Oh, please. Broncos country,
let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride.
I guess you could say the Seahawks, they took a page from George Michael that's playing in the background and freed themselves from Russell Wilson.
That's not what he wanted to cook.
Well, while you're here, the crowd mic sounds good.
It sounds great, boys.
Both of you sound great. Your levels are good.
Look, at this point, I don't know what to do. I said this going in when they were like 4-8 or what have you, the Packers I'm talking about. This year is going to be the beginning of a downward spiral for many years to come.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It could be 10, 15, 20, 30 years probably.
30?
I feel like
the franchise is going to fold in 5 years.
But here's why I say that. I say that because when we look at history for the Packers, when it comes to great quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era, you had Bart Starr in the 60s. The next good quarterback after Bart Starr was Brett Favre. That was in the 1990s. Then you had Rodgers 10, 15 years later, what have you, which has been phenomenal. But following that, Jordan Love? I got no idea about Jordan Love. They might not even keep Jordan Love following next season. So I just don't know what the heck they're doing. I just don't. So what I expect, and Christian Vasquez can probably back me up too on this, it's going to be at least 10 to 15 years of pain and misery for the Green Bay Packers coming up.
I feel very proud as a Giants fan that my team was able to kickstart all of that by continuing their unbeaten streak in London.
Jake, I will say this once, I've said this again, and I will say this for the rest of my life. Eli Manning is the Forrest Gump of football. He's the luckiest man on two legs.
If he's the Forrest Gump of football, what does that make Daniel Jones?
Gen A.
Oh, that's a great question. I'm gonna have to come back to you on that one. You're gonna look. All my references, I need some time to build them up. Sometimes, you know, they come like that. Sometimes they need some time. Maybe a day, 2 days, a week, maybe, I don't know. But Eli Manning is the Forrest Gump of football. That's all I know.
That's a new one. I like that one.
I have one more important story to share. So
sure.
Today, after we got back, obviously Michael Jordan was on our minds. So I figured I'd ask Carm. I wanted an official rating of where he puts LeBron James all time.
Oh, yes.
So I pulled up a list and I went through a whole bunch of players. I can happily report that in Alex Carminati's mind, LeBron James is the 34th best player in the history of the NBA.
There we go.
Behind the legs of Clyde Frazier, Pascal Siakam, Kawhi Leonard, Ray Allen. Gosh. Those are some
Paul
of the notable.
Pierce.
Paul Pierce.
All right. No, I can agree with Clyde Frazier because that's a two-time Hall of Famer right there. But what?
Now, Alex, I do want to address when you said you took a picture with what was it? You saw a statue of Michael Jordan. Took a picture of him.
Yes.
We saw a statue of Michael Jordan outside the Bulls.
I agree with you that Michael Jordan is the best basketball player ever. Period.
Absolutely.
Stop. There's no. People will try to say LeBron. The clown's like
he's
number 11.
Fraud.
He's like number 11.
LeBrick James. Let's go.
Huh?
LeBrick James.
LeBrick James. Yes. Yeah.
You know, our Uber driver said Derrick Rose might be in the conversation for the best of all time.
Yeah, he did say that.
Wait, you're in Chicago. Are we talking first Knicks tenure Derrick Rose or second Knicks tenure?
I don't
Derrick
know.
Rose?
Derrick Rose in general. We were talking about, I don't know, maybe Michael Jordan, maybe LeBron, and then he was like, oh, yeah, and then, you know, you could throw in Derrick Rose
I
potentially.
I think this kind gentleman was stuck in 2011. I think that's all. But, look, you know what? I'm not afraid to show my LeBron bias. That's fine with me. I don't care. Call me crazy. Call me whatever. Number one, I just can't stand the guy, and we all know that. But number two, I just do it for laughs. It's just great. 34th all time. That's right. He's 34th all time. I would, and again, I'm serious. Give me Jason Tatum. Give me Dirk. Give me Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Steph Curry, Jordan,
gosh.
Obviously, Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell. Give me Shaq.
I agree with you on Bill Russell. Here's
Shaq.
What I got to say.
Give me Clyde Frazier.
Pascal
Patrick
Siakam.
Ewing, Pascal Siakam, Giannis. Luka, you know.
Here's what I gotta say.
So I have the name.
Here's what I gotta say in this regard. How can LeBron James be the greatest of all time if he's not even the greatest player to wear both of his numbers?
I like that. I like that a lot. Well, you are right, sir. I like that very much, and
that's just my opinion.
No, I might use that as one of my arguments going forward. I'll just be honest with you. But no, LeBron James, in my mind.
It's going to cost you royalties, by the way, if you do.
That's fine. I'll pay you in, I don't know. I don't know what I'll pay you in.
You can pay me in Monopoly money.
That's fair. That or Wendy's coupons, I don't know. We'll
Wendy's coupons are very
will
nice.
I will also accept Wendy's coupons.
That's very good.
But
what about Wendy's
mind,
in Bayonne?
That's right. With Diet Coke. That tastes very good. The hometown of Paul Mulcahy, who should be playing tonight and most likely will. Yes, he is. I see Paul over there. He's stretching out. He's got his headband on, looking towards the crowd. Paul's getting ready to go here.
Signature
you know?
Headband. Let's go.
He does. No, I'm not. I mean, come on. You know, the guy looks great. He looks ready to go. The whole team looks great and ready to go. Hopefully, they're able to, pick up a win tonight. Cam Spencer just knocked that down to three. I tell you. And, you know, we're getting a little off topic, bouncing, whatever. But Cam Spencer, ever since that Wake Forest wake-up game, wake up, literally, because they woke up Wake Forest and they woke up themselves following those two tough losses. They have been remarkable, and Cam Spencer has been either A or the main reason why. He's been incredible.
Yeah, and
incredible stuff.
This is Can We Just Talk, so you can really talk
about
whatever
fine.
You want.
We're talking about chimpanzees and gorillas before.
Yeah.
Eddie, so you said you were a chimpanzee guy, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to clear the air.
We're still talking about this?
You are the one who brought them
You're
into the conversation.
You're the topic, Alex.
All right. Okay.
Hey.
Number one.
I just want to say, we have had way wackier discussions on Can We Just Talk.
Yeah, Moose sucked at one time.
Yeah, I was here when John and I were talking about Moose on Can We Just Talk, and we were confused at poor Brett Hall.
Because Moose are cool. Moose are sick, man.
Yeah, they are.
What were you saying, Carl? I'm sorry.
First off, number one, when I make a reference to Matt LaFleur like that, that's just common sense, okay? And by that point, that should just be the end of the conversation. The next question then comes up, do you prefer gorillas or chimpanzees?
John,
they're both great, okay? I don't really care between either one. I was just using the animal to bash a guy who's a horrible person.
I think he was just asking.
Yeah, I was asking your opinion.
He was asking
your opinion on the animal. He wasn't asking which animal you prefer to compare him to.
I don't really have an opinion. Who cares?
Carm, but do you expect anything less from us? Like, in all honesty, at this point, do you expect anything less?
Max, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. You know what? This break's been going quick, but it's been a while since I've seen you characters, so, you know, fair enough. That's true. I forget about, you know, jumping John Hornet over here and the rest of the crew. Oh, my goodness.
Jumping John?
You like that?
Yeah.
Like
that's a good one.
Jumping John Hornet,
Ed
Jake
the
Snake, Ed the Shed, Maxi Boy.
Whoa.
What else do I got?
Coach the Coach.
Coach
Horn,
Coach Horn,
Lieutenant Palumbo, can't forget.
Captain Fox.
By the way, this past break, I've been seeing more of that show. Columbo? I'm serious.
That's a good show, right?
It's a great show.
I love that show.
Oh, my goodness. Peter Falk. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Oh, and by the way, one more thing for you. No, I mean, come on. He's incredible. Him and Eddie and I were watching Kojak last night.
Yes. I was half watching it on boards. However, I got the audio experience of it. It was a compelling mystery.
I told you it was good.
Yes.
Who loves you, baby?
Ruckers really loves you.
That's right. Ruckers loves you so much that they're going to beat you tonight. And when they beat you, they're going to be dancing all over your parade. That's all that's going to happen. That's it.
There you go.
No, but seriously, catch out Kojak, catch out Columbo. Seriously, two phenomenal shows. And when you talk about real talent and real television talent, it's phenomenal. The stuff today is garbage.
Hey, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
I think Zach Wilson plays a very compelling character.
Let's not talk about him, please. Like, I thought we were done with this.
Alex, let me ask you a question.
Hey, we're talking about TV talent, okay?
Zach Wilson's going to be joining Mike LaFleur soon.
Zach Wilson, not a very
benefits.
Good football player. Great television character.
Oh, please.
Alex, let me ask you this question.
I guess you could say Zach Wilson is burning down the house.
That's a great song.
Nice.
It's playing in the background.
Are you serious?
I tell you, this crowd mic's phenomenal.
Burning down the house. All right.
The Tom Jones version's better.
What? No, David Byrne is a class act, man.
Oh, come on. Tom Jones, baby.
David Byrne, baby.
What's new, pussycat? Give me
a break.
Is it bad that I know that song?
That's a good song. Great song. Oh, come on.
Come on, David Byrne. Take me to the river.
No.
I don't
get
know
out of
this.
Town.
I do not know this song.
Tommy Jones, baby. Tommy boy.
But anyway.
What song is this?
I digress.
Burning Down the House.
But Talking Heads. Talking Heads.
Great act. Anyways, we have just a few minutes left on crew here, so we're going to close it out. We want to thank Eddie Colleghi and Alex Carminati for coming on, giving us a live look in on all types of things. And be sure to stay tuned. Starting at 8:45 for Rutgers men's basketball, Alex and Eddie will be on the call for that game. Thank you, boys. We will check back with you in a little bit.
All right, gentlemen, thanks a lot, and I'll see you in person hopefully next week.
And we'll hear from you guys, and you'll hear us in an hour for Rutgers and Northwestern.
There you go.
And there you go. That was Alex and Eddie. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back here to close out hour two. And welcome back to the Wednesday crew. We just heard from our broadcasters, Eddie and Alex in Illinois for the Northwestern Rutgers basketball game. Gentlemen, to close out hour two, we'll do some quick baseball free agency offseason news. The Mets, after weeks of, are the Mets going to sign Carlos Correa? Yeah, they are, once they get a physical. Oh, okay, cool. No, first the Giants. It was, yeah, the Giants are going to get Correa. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, the Giants are still going to be in playoff position. Maybe, you know, we get a few pitching and they'll be right. And then
a physical.
They didn't get him. And then the Mets were in the running to get him. From that first report, gentlemen, I was like, I don't want this guy. He's going to want way too much money. 12 years is a very long time. I'm going to be 33. But by the time
I don't like that. Because I will also be 33.
I hate that. For the fact that I'm going to be 33 soon is disgusting.
I'll be 34.
That's disgusting. And then this guy wanted 12 years. I'm like, no. How six? I should be the negotiator for the anyway. The Mets, after all this, like, you know, I was hoping for one more like twist and turn for the Correa thing. Because, like, let me think. The Giant thing fell through. The Mets fell through. Then they were still in the talks with them. Then it fell through again. I was hoping for one more turn because, like, it started out as, like, oh, yeah, the Mets may not sign Correa because he needs a physical thing with his leg. And then by the end of it, it was like, is he going to play baseball? Because it Canada, like, I think they hyped up his injury too much. I think it was only like an ankle injury or he had like surgery on
then,
it or something.
And then you get the news that he signed with the Twins
yesterday morning.
And would you look at that? He passed the physical with flying colors.
And they had the introductory press conference today. So now it's actually official.
So,
good.
It's a little fishy. I'm not going to lie.
Well, with the Twins, I'm pretty sure they did like an exit physical right when the season ended. So they knew all about his current state of health. So, yeah, it's just, boy, what a ride. He signed three. I saw a tweet that was like, the shortstop market really did a really good job this offseason. Carlos Correa with Giants, 12 years, $315 million.
Yeah.
Carlos Correa with Mets, whatever that deal was. And then Carlos Correa with Twins, 6 years, $200 million. It was really hilarious. I got a good laugh out of that.
I'm glad the Yankees didn't even go anywhere near him, because that's just a circus. That's a whole three-ring circus. Plus the boardwalk sideshow, so
look, his involvement with the Astro thing a few years ago, that was enough for me. Like, I don't want this guy.
Oh, me too.
And I know, like, he's a very good playoff hitter. He's got playoff experience, but like, I don't want to pay this guy like Mike Trout money to hit 280.
We're getting another dinging sound for
hearing that Windows notification sound again.
Yeah,
I guess.
But anyways,
I don't know if that's going over the air, but if it is, I want to apologize that. But
what is that?
I don't know.
I think it might be a church outside.
Yeah, maybe. Because it is almost at the top of the hour.
Anyway, fellas, that will wrap it up here. Thank goodness the Mets didn't get him. Thank God he's out of, not, you know, I'm glad the Braves didn't get him. Because that would just be enough for me to just pack it in. now, on that note, we're going to end the Wednesday crew. Please stay tuned for further programming. Have a good night, everybody.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
Tune in to Glorna Heron, the Voice of Ireland program, on Sundays from 5 to 7 p.m. Your hosts, Michael Callahan, Jack McCullough, Tommy Burns, and Joe O'Sullivan, play the best in Irish music and share news from Ireland and the Irish-American community in New Jersey. Broadcasting from the campus of Rutgers University every Sunday at 5 on WRSU 88.7 FM.
On the air at 88.7 FM and online at WRSU.org. This is WRSU-FM, New Brunswick.
Down, down, on ground. Down, down, on ground.